Now, would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew? The portion of Scripture we read there in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And when we have found the place and we have God's Word open before us, let us unite in prayer as we pray over the Word, that the Lord will speak to us this morning. Let us pray. O loving God and eternal Father, we do bless Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for this inspired and errant word of the living God. And then, Lord, in prayer we speak unto Thee. And now, Lord, we wait for Thee to speak to us. We pray, Lord, Thou wilt give us the listening ear. Give us the heart that is open and ready to receive Thy word. And, O Lord, I ask that Thou wilt grant to me the help and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that, Lord, we might be able to preach the word. And we preach the word in sincerity. And in so doing, Lord, will ever preach Christ and make much of His blood and of His finished work. We do ask all these things in the Savior's name and for His glory alone. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. And our text for this morning is the verse 11. The words of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? The words we have read this morning, particularly those words, verse 7 down to verse 11, form or were spoken by the Lord later in His ministry. He delivered those words to His disciples a second time, when they came upon the Lord as He was in prayer. And they stood listening to Him praying. He was in a certain place. And as they listened to Him pray, when they finished, or when the Savior had finished praying, one of His disciples then said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. There the disciples stood listening to the Savior pray. And when He ceased, they asked Him, Lord, teach us to pray. It was as if the disciples, upon listening to the Savior pray, they realized they knew very little about prayer. When they listened to their Savior pray, they realized they needed to be taught more about prayer. And so one of them said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples. And in teaching His disciples about prayer, there in John, or in Luke 11, one of the first things that He taught them was to be constant in prayer. Taught them to be constant. For He said unto them, ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And here he repeats those words in this chapter, Matthew. The words ask and seek and knock are in the tense, which mean the Lord said, go on asking, go on seeking, go on knocking. And here he taught the disciples about prayer and the need for importunity. That's the word the Lord used in Luke 11. Importunity, what does it mean? It means shameless persistence. The man going to his friend's house at midnight, knocking, wanting bread. He was shamelessly persistent. The Lord said, that's the way you're to pray. It's interesting that that was one of the first lessons the Lord taught. Whenever they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Because how often do we get discouraged when it comes to prayer and we've prayed for a matter and we haven't seen an answer? And one of the first lessons the Lord taught his disciples was, keep at the praying. And if the Lord himself tells us to keep praying and be constant in prayer and be persistent in prayer, it must mean he's going to answer. So as well as the constancy in prayer, there is the simplicity of prayer. The Lord uses three different words to describe prayer. Ask, seek, knock. Those are three words the Lord chose to describe prayer. There's the simplicity of prayer. It is a simple exercise. There's nothing complicated about it. Evidently, there's not when the Lord chose those three words. Ask, seek, and knock. Sure, a child in kindergarten knows what those three words mean. And so here the Lord is saying, when you come to pray, ask, seek, and knock, and go on asking, and go on seeking, and go on knocking. There's the simplicity of prayer. Yes, I know we need to wrestle with God and spend an hour or two in prayer, but at the same time, it's still simple. Constancy in prayer. Simplicity of prayer. Then there's the necessity of prayer. The necessity. What did the Lord say? Ask and you shall receive. If you don't ask, you'll not receive. We need to ask. Ask and you shall receive. What did James tell us? Ye have not because ye ask not. If we want the Lord to do something for us, we need to ask. And if the answer doesn't come immediately, we need to go on asking. It's necessary. If we do not seek, we'll never find. If we do not ask, we'll never get an answer. If we do not knock, the door will never be opened. Remember, this is one of the first lessons the Lord taught. When that disciple said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And then as he did in Luke 11, verses 5 to 8, here he speaks about what it is to ask in prayer and what to expect by way of an answer. What to expect. We look there at the verse 11. Here's what you can expect when you pray. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask? Unto them that ask. What we want to look at this morning with the Lord's help is the generosity of our God. The generosity of our God. How much more shall your Father give good things unto them that ask? There's his generosity. We look at this word, or these words in the verse 11. We see, first of all, there is a relationship. A relationship. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, there's the relationship. Upon being asked by one of his disciples, the Lord said, Lord, teach us to pray. It is interesting to note how the Lord replied to that request. That disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray. And the very first words the Lord spoke in answer, he said, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He didn't mean that we necessarily have to repeat those words every time we pray. No, that was a pattern that we base our prayers upon. But the first thing he taught, the very first thing he taught, was that relationship. He's saying to his disciples, you're the children of your Father which is in heaven. You have a relationship with the God of heaven. And think of that, believer. Think of that. Think of the God of all creation. Is my Father. He's your Father. All that was ever made was made by whom? By your Father. By my Father. By the God of heaven. And here the Lord reminds us that when we pray, we're not coming into God's presence as strangers. We're coming into God's presence as his children. As his children. Here we see, first of all, our Father. The Lord here emphasizes that relationship. How much more shall your Father? We see from these words that our God is a good Father. And we know that by the Lord's own words himself. Remember, the rich young ruler came to the Lord one day and said, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He called him good master, and the Lord replied and said, there is none good but one, that is God. So we have a good Father. This is something which we should always keep in mind when we come to the place of prayer, when we bow the knee in prayer, when we come to the Lord and approach him at the throne of grace, we're coming to a good Father. He's good. Psalm 119, verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Therefore, when we pray to our Father, we may be confident of this thing, that whatever God does for us, it'll always be good. He's a good Father. Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Is this not a great incentive for us to pray? A great incentive to be at the prayer meeting? A great incentive for us to pray at home, knowing that our God is good and He'll be good to us. How good is the God we adore? Our faithful, unchangeable friend whose love is as great as His power and knows neither measure nor end. He's a good Father. He's a gracious Father. Our God will not deal with us as He would the ungodly and the wicked, but He deals with us as children. He's gracious. For He did not deal with us after our sins, nor did He reward us after, according to our iniquities. He's gracious. Isn't it just as well? Isn't it just as well He doesn't deal with us after our sins? Isn't it just as well He doesn't reward us according to our iniquities? He's gracious. So when we come to Him in prayer, we're coming to a gracious Father and to a good Father. That's what each one of His children can say. My Father is gracious. Jonah was one who recognized that when he prayed, for he said, I knew that Thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, Jonah 4 and verse 2. Remember these things. Remember. When you pray, you're praying to a good Father who's yours. Remember, when you pray, you're praying to a gracious Father. Remember, when you pray, He's a generous Father. Generous. That's what we see here in the Savior's own words. The Lord said, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask? How much more? He's generous. We read in 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 9, the man of God who said to Amaziah, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. See? See how generous He is? He's able to give us much more. You look back there in Matthew 6, in the verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Much more. He's the God of the much more. Remember that when you pray. The Apostle Paul has said, Ephesians 3 and verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. There's it again. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think. Why are so many of God's people reluctant to pray? Why are they so slow to pray? Why are they so slow to come to the place of prayer? When we have such a good, gracious, and generous Father who will give us much more than what we ask. I've been saved quite a few years now. 5th of May, 1969, a Monday night, about 9:30. And all those years of being a Christian, there's one thing I've discovered. That whatever I've asked the Lord for, and whenever He has answered, He has always given me more than what I ask for. And I'm sure every Christian here could testify to that. He always gives us more than what we ask for. He gives good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Prove me now herewith, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. He's the God of the much more. Remember that when you bow the knee in prayer. We have here in this text our Father, we also have our fellowship. Now, I think it is safe to say that a disobedient, rebellious son need not expect to receive all that he asks for from his father. I can testify to that firsthand. When I lived at home with my three brothers, I remember when I was going to school, the whole talk then was about this film that was coming out. It was called Moby Dick. And I wanted to go. I was going until I did something wrong in the house and rebelled. My dad said, "You're not going." Boy, was I heartbroken. But I was in rebellion. I had done something wrong that I shouldn't have done. Now, when we come to prayer, do you think we're going to receive things from our Heavenly Father if we're in rebellion to Him? If we're not living for Him, if we're not obeying His word, how may we expect our Heavenly Father to answer our prayers if we're not walking with Him and we're living as rebels and we're not in fellowship with Him? Stands a sense, doesn't it? The dear Son of God has said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." We are to love our Heavenly Father. He is our Father. Just as children, we would love our earthly father. We are to love our Heavenly Father. We're to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. That's what Solomon as a father said. Solomon said, "Son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." That would be true love indeed, would it not? The son gives to his father his heart. That would be a true sign of love for Him. It would be a true sign of our love for our Father. We give Him our heart. Yes, I know. You're saved. He already has your soul. But the heart is the seat of the affections. Can you say you love your Father with all of your heart? With all of your soul, with all of your mind? Do you love your Father? If you love Him, then you may expect to receive answers from him when ye pray. As well as loving our Father, as children we ought to want to be like our Father. What does Solomon say again? Give me thine heart, son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. When a son has his eyes upon a good father, he'll want to be like him. And our Heavenly Father wants us to strive to be like him. Good to be able to say, I want to be like my Father. We say to our Heavenly Father, I want to be like him, and we strive to that end. We then may expect answers to our prayers. Leviticus 20 and verse 7, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. We're to sanctify ourselves, we're to live a holy life. Why? Why? Because our Father's holy. 1 Peter 1 verse 14, but as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Not loving those things that you once loved before you became a child of God. Rather, be obedient children, obedient to our Heavenly Father. Peter goes on to say, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the Father speaking. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's likeness to our Heavenly Father. And surely nothing honors a father more than for a son to strive to be like his father. Matthew 5, verse 48. Our Father's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, said this, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now we're not going to be perfect this side of eternity, but that's our goal. Our Father is perfect. We are to strive to be like him. We want to be like him. And surely if we honor our Heavenly Father by striving to be like him, he will honor us by answering our prayers. By answering our prayers. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask. There must be a love for our Father, a likeness to our Father, and a living for our Father. Would that not please our Father in heaven if we strove to live for him? Look down the chapter there to verse 21. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So who will enter into the kingdom of heaven? It's all right saying, Lord, Lord. But as I say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's it. That's how we're to live. It's all right having the language. All right saying, Lord, Lord. But if the life doesn't match the profession, not be in heaven. That's what the Lord says. Who will be in heaven? He that doeth the will of my Father. He that doeth the will of my Father, he'll be in heaven. And no one knows more about doing the will of the Father than his only begotten Son. The Lord Jesus was able to say, I do always those things that please him. And living for his Father and always doing those things that please him. What was the Lord then able to say? John 11, verses 41, 42, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. See the link? Living for God, living for a heavenly Father, that means the Lord will hear us and answer prayer. Not going to answer prayer if we're living in rebellion to him. You know that wouldn't happen in your house. You know that. It's not going to happen between us and our Heavenly Father. We need to be living for him. Our relationship is with the Father and being in fellowship with him, and also what will it lead to? It'll lead to his favor. When we look at the words here of our Savior, does he not speak about our Father favoring his children? Ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask? There's his favor. He's a giving God, you see. You know how the old devil gets at you? And would have you to believe, to get anything from God, you have, as it were, to twist his arm up his back before he'll give you anything. Do we know who the devil is? He's a liar. He's the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. We have a giving God. How much more? How much more? There's the generosity of our God. We will enjoy his favor. You turn to Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs 3, in the opening few verses, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. There you are. Not being in rebellion to our Father. Obeying his word, his commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Amen. Mark the words of verse 4. We have in the opening three verses of son obeying his father, doing what he's told, obeying his commands, his laws. What's the result? Verse 4 is the result. So shalt thou find favor. A rebellious child is not going to find favor with his father. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. See those words? Good understanding. You know what those words mean? Those words mean good success. Good success. So there we have what we've been saying all along. living for the Lord, living for God, wanting to be like Him, loving Him, obeying His laws and His commandments, what will that lead to? His favor and good success. Success in prayer. Success in prayer. Enjoying His favor. That's what we want, isn't it? His favor. The psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 58, I entreat thy favor with my whole heart. Good to entreat the Lord, to pray with the whole heart. There's a relationship. There is also there a readiness. A readiness. We see from these words of the Savior a readiness on the part of our Heavenly Father to give to us what we ask for. What do we have here then? We have, first of all, a willing Father. This is something that is emphasized over and over. Listen to this, John 15, verse 16, the end of the verse. And that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Chapter 16, verse 23. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, what do we do then? What do we do with those words? Do we say, oh, well, don't really mean that? Well, that's a dangerous road to go down. The Lord said, if you ask the Father whatsoever, ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. The great Ulster preacher, W.P. Nicholson, when he came to a promise like that, Nicholson used to say, don't boil it down. You get a saucepan. You fill it up with cabbage right to the brim. Put some water in it. Put it on the cooker. And it boils for a while. And the cabbage is no longer up at the brim. It has boiled down. That's what Nicholson meant. Don't do that with God's promises. Don't boil them down. Take them as they are. Take God at His word. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Whatsoever. That's broad enough, isn't it? To take in every need. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's taking the Lord at His word. Ask and it's receiving. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? There's more willingness found in our Heavenly Father than can be found in any earthly father. And you know how an earthly father will do anything for his son. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven? You find that he's not only a willing father, he's a wise father. Is that not what the Savior was saying? An earthly father will only give to his children that which is good for them. Verses 9 and 10. If a son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Lord is saying, of course not. To give him a stone instead of bread and a serpent instead of fish would be dangerous, would be harmful. Now, what does that tell us? What's the Lord teaching? The Lord is teaching us that our Father is a wise Father. He will only give us that which is good for us. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things? He's not going to give us that which will harm us. He will only give us that which is good. He's a wise Father. The King eternal, invisible, the only wise God. That's our Father. That's Him. That's Him who Paul's talking about. Be honored in glory forever and ever. Paul again, Romans 16, verse 27. The God, to God only wise. That's our Father he's talking about. When we come to pray, we of course should remember the words of the Savior, not my will, but thy will be done. He's a willing Father, he's a wise Father, and he's a wealthy father. Think of that. Here the Lord says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? How much more? More. He's a wealthy father. When we come to the throne of grace, we're not coming and praying to a poverty-stricken God or to a poverty-stricken Father. For no matter what good things we may ask for, our Father is well able to afford them. Isn't that great? Doesn't matter what we ask for. We have a wealthy Father. He can afford whatever we ask for. For every beast of the forest is mine, he said, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. We have a wealthy Father. There is nothing which we may ask for in prayer that our Heavenly Father is unable to supply. Get a hold of that. We will never be able to ask for more than what our God is able to give. That's something to think about when you come to pray. We'll never be able to ask for more than what our God is able to give. Philippians 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Mark the words. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. There are many very rich people in the world. Let's just say Bill Gates came to Toronto Free Church one Lord's Day. And he sat and wrote out a check. And the men who count the money afterwards looked at the check and saw his signature, Bill Gates, and the check was for $100. Well, you would thank the Lord for the $100. Ah, but he wouldn't be giving in accordance to his riches. Now, if he wrote out a check for $2 or $3 million, that would be more like it. According to his riches. That's how the Lord gives to us. That's our Heavenly Father. He's a wealthy Father. And he gives us according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask. In the last place, and quickly, as well as the relationship and the readiness, there is the receiving. The Lord has made it very clear when dealing with prayer that when there is an asking, there will be a receiving. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give? He gives, you see. You have, first of all, the plea. Give good things to them that ask. There's the plea. Back to where we started. Asking. Simple. Isn't it clear what the Lord is teaching the disciples? If you don't ask, you can't expect an answer. You don't ask, you can't expect to receive. Didn't he say, ask, and you shall receive? In Matthew 7, verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. I like those words. Everyone that asketh. Doesn't say the best educated. Doesn't say experienced Christians. No, it says everyone. The babe in Christ. The young man, the young woman just starting out in the Christian life. He's included in that word, everyone. The poor Christian, the rich Christian. The one who's been on the road a long time. Or the one who's just starting out on the pilgrim journey. They're included. Praise the Lord. They're included. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. There you are. Doesn't leave anybody out. That's a wide enough door to allow every child of God to enter in. Every one of his children. Every member of his family. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. As well as the plea, there's the providing. Once more, our Heavenly Father will provide for us. And he'll only provide good things. Because he's a good Father. Joshua acknowledged that. In Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23, and there in verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed. Not one thing hath failed of all the good things. Is provided for Joshua, provided for Israel. And no matter how many years you've been on the Christian pathway, I believe everyone can testify he has provided every step of the way. It's the plea, ask, the providing, and give. Does that not then lead to a prompting? When we look at the words of our text today and see there the generosity of God, would that not prompt us to give more time to prayer? Because the Lord's always encouraging us to pray. Luke 18, verse 1. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. The word faint means to give in. The word faint can also be rendered to desert your post. In other words, the Lord says, men will always pray not to give up. Why? Because ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? He's a generous God, and he's our Father. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Father and our God, we bless thee for the many here this morning that are in that relationship where they are the children of God. Therefore, the God of heaven, we can say he's my Father. He's my Father. He's good, he's gracious, and he's generous. He's my Father. He's willing to answer. He's wealthy, he's able to answer. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today. Visit our churches, Lord, and answers to prayer. Come, Lord, and bless this congregation today and in the days to come. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Bless the preaching of the word this evening. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.